to lords of life. That's good. You used to be, all your lifetime, the Bible says, were slaves of death. You know, servants of death. Slaves of sin. Worried about where you're going to go to in eternity. No more. Jesus died. Yeah, He was buried. Yeah, yeah. He rose from the dead. And He presented Himself. I am He that lives. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He says, that's who I am. And I have the keys of hell and death. He says, I am the Savior, and I won. I am the victor. And when I come back the second time, it's going to be with power and great glory. And you're going to be with me. These things don't change, folks. And I know I speak to you in a haze. I know the world is full. The Bible says, strong delusion in the last days. You want to know what the delusion is? The delusion is, we don't realize who we are. We think our houses and our homes and our lands and our cars define us and our jobs. It's not so. Our God is the Father of the universe. He's our Father, and He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And you are an inheritor. The Bible says all things are yours. Isn't that cool? See, the Bible says this all is going to be yours. To meet what? Inherit the earth. And when we inherit it, we're going to be in glorified bodies when we come back. It's just over yonder, gang. It's happening just like He said. He scripted this thing before there was ever a thing called a computer. And the Bible says in the Scriptures that there was going to come a day when everybody had to get a mark. And everybody was going to be controlled. And everybody was going to have that mark to buy or sell. That is only possible in our day. My day. Really. You know, I remember when they used to go through the checkout counter and it was a guy behind the counter because the ladies were at home. And the guys were the guys doing the checking out. And they had to punch in the buttons. You know, they had to punch them in. And the fact is all that's changed now. So beep, 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 beep. And then you put it in the bag. If you can. Me? I'm crippled. Can you help me? I can't get this bag open. Anybody with me? Can't get the sink bag open. I'm standing there. I'm trying to get the bag open. Feeling all manly for a moment. And then I'm like, got this. Beep. Now, anybody can do it. Anyway, I'm not bitter. I don't know who made those bags. It was a woman. You know, women can do that. It's a woman. She comes over. She says, what? Beep. She squeezes it to get... Yeah, I digress. I got to give you a little levity because this is a hard word, isn't it, to get our minds around. But it's good, isn't it? Isn't it good? He knew what He was coming in to do. He knew the table was all messed up. He knew when He came in. Adam didn't. It was a mess. Inconceivable how bad it was going to be. But Jesus stepped into the fray. And the Bible says we are now more than conquerors through Him. Isn't that good? That's the Word of God. Being justified, we rejoice. Even in tribulations, how can that be? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How is it shed abroad? Because He keeps saying, yeah, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Even though you were ungodly, I loved you. While you were yet enemies, I died for you. He says, I love you, and you get your mind around that, it'll transfigure, it'll transform, it will revolutionize your life. So He comes out of this parenthesis. Go back to verse 12. He says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men because all have sinned, He restates it again in verse 18. Similar words, not quite exactly, but He's coming back to what He was trying to say a moment ago. And He says, therefore, as by one man, one offense, one, and He kind of brings it down from sin to offense. And He says, by that offense of one, judgment came upon all. He says, it came upon all to condemnation. That's where we all live. That was our environment. He says, even like that, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Remember I told you the word many a minute ago? Not everybody receives it, but the word all is here. He says, in essence, this, and the word upon all men at the end of verse 18 is the word unto. It's eis in the Greek, not epi. It means unto. The free gift, if you read it with it ironed out there, he's saying the free gift came unto all men, unto justification of life. That means it's at your front door. That means He did it so completely that He died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will what? Draw all men unto Me. He says, I'm going to do that. And He was lifted up on the cross. He died in our place. No one ever did that before. No one ever claimed it had to be done. Only God, as He framed the Old Testament sacrificial system and brought to full bloom Jesus in His day and in fullness of times, He came, He died on the cross, He shed His blood. God was saying with a wide brush over the canvas of the Old Testament day, He says, listen, blood makes atonement for the soul. That's what happens. It has to happen. And then when John the Baptist saw Him, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. And anybody in Judaism would have known that meant there's something about Him and the sacrifice. And as they watched Him and they expected Him, like you were supposed to do with that lamb in the Passover, you're supposed to inspect Him for a few days, right? They inspected Him for 3 years as He ministered. And He never once stumbled. He never once made a mistake. He never once what? Sinned. Why? Because He was on task. He was on target. He was on mission. And His mission was a rescue mission. And when He hung on that cross, He shed His blood to pay for your sins and for mine. And suddenly every Jew who had a clue saying, man, that makes complete sense. After they got past the initial grief of He was dead, what's that all about? And He wrote, my hands, my feet, spirit does not have flesh and bone as you see me have. He says, now you need to go and echo that to the world. Guys, listen, this is a rescue mission. He says, now we reign in life. Verse 18 says there, he's talking about how the free gift came unto all men, came unto all men, unto justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, he's saying it in a nutshell, so by the obedience of one shall many, not all, shall many be made righteous, because not all will receive it. Doesn't it staggle your mind how many people can walk away from this and act like it doesn't matter? This is huge stuff. This is it. This is the thing you're digging down to get. You know, when they were in the mines trying to find gold, that's what they were looking for. You know, you want to know what you want to look for in life? You know what it's all about? It's not about a mate. It's not about a job. That's the urgent thing. The important thing, is where you're going to spend eternity. And He comes right up close. He brings it right to your door and He says, justification can be yours. Righteousness can be given to you as a gift. It's a grace gift to you. And if you'll trust Jesus as your Savior, you get to be justified. You get to be delivered. You get to be reconciled. It's an awesome thing. And He uses the word free gift over and over again. Grace is a word that's similar in that it has the same machinery. Grace is the word charis. It means joy and delight. This is where it's at, guys. This is where all your joy comes from. It's why the song that was sung here about how hard times can be tough. That's where that comes from. You can't have joy in hard times. You can't glory in tribulations if you don't know that the love of God is all over you. You know, the Bible talks about Paul giving his life, right? I'm ready to be offered, you know, had his head chopped off. But he was good with that. He even said in Philippians, I have a desire to depart, which is far better. He knew, because he knew he was reconciled. And if you know that you're in the Father's hands and the Father has everything sovereignly in His control, you will not stumble, balk, or tremble at the concepts of hard times coming your way, because you'll know your Father's writing the script. You'll know your Father has got the story in hand and that He'll never let anything separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Go back to chapter 5, and it says in verse 19, or verse 20, he says, moreover, and we read this as a preview, but he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He's saying not only did Jesus know that there was offenses and sins in the world up until the time of Adam and all that, and even into the present day, he says not only did he know it, but he aggravated it by interjecting the law. He put it in there so everybody would know it, so especially one people would know it, and he put it in there so they would know they were sinners. I wonder if you really think of yourself, BC, as a sinner. Boy, I know I did. Do you remember? Do you remember your behavior before Jesus came into your life? Do you remember? Some of you might have been brought up in Christian homes. That might be a nice thing. But you know, the fact of the matter is, somewhere along the line, you had to admit, you have to come to the place where you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you need Him in your heart. You know He had to die for you. And you have to somewhere come face to face with the fact that you're a sinner. Nobody gets in heaven who doesn't know they're sick. You know what Jesus said? They that are sick, they're the ones that need a physician. They that are well don't need a physician. You think you're okay? You don't need Jesus. You're going to bebop along and one day you could go out tragically and in a hurry. By the way, the whole issue of being saved from wrath, look at verse 9 of chapter 5. Much more than being now justified, we're going to be saved from the wrath through Him. The idea of being saved from the wrath, we saw what wrath was. It was the getting darker and darker and darker until they don't even feel God anymore. He says, you're not going to be like that. You're going to be somebody who God constantly comes in and gives a little spank when you know you're doing wrong in a chronic way. He didn't spank you immediately. What's he do? He lets you go a while, like you let your kids go a while. But then you let them touch the hot pipe on the mower and say, oh, you'll learn. God does that. He'll let you reap some consequences, but he will not let you go. I love that song. Remember years ago, you sing it? Oh, love, that will not let me go. The Bible says if you're without chastening, you're not child of God. But if you got chastening, you're in. Guys, listen. He says in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He says, listen, Jesus had all of the resources to deal with this. And you need to trust him because nobody else does. Verse 21, that as sin reigned unto death, so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Lords of life. You and I get to reign in the here and now as trophies of His grace. You and I get to reign now as evidences to a world that used to see bulldozed bodies in open graves. Now it sees people marching into church on Sundays. Marching to the cross and saying, I need salvation, and walking away new people. That's what it sees. They know that Dave Davenport is a different person. I'll close with this illustration. When I was first saved, it was stark, like the law backdrop to the sin, you know. I got saved. I got right with God. It was amazing. I was a kid who was wayward and wrong and evil, and the neighborhood knew it, you know. The neighborhood knows, you know. Kid over across the street, long-haired hippie freak, you know, carrying on, doing all, running around wrong people, loud music, all that. About a month or a couple months after I got right with God, I'm out in front of my house shooting baskets, and the guy across the street says to his wife, is that David over there? They were an older couple. They just observed the neighborhood. You ever notice how old people observe the neighborhood? He was observing. He observed the neighborhood, and I was over there shooting some baskets, and she said, yeah. Well, seems like his life's calmed down. Anything new? His wife said, well, yeah, I think he started going to church. And he said, oh. And he went back. The wife went back in. He continued to observe the neighborhood. He's watching me. He says, honey, come on. He said, you know, I'm watching him play basketball. And he said, I think I just saw a halo on his head. Just saying. I didn't put it there. And I don't paint the pictures. But the guy saw a difference in my life because I was changed. You want to know what's really cool about that story? Backstory? Guy got saved about 3 weeks later. Down the road, I was in college. I had to come home with all my stuff in midterm because I didn't have any money to pay my bill. I've been told, not quite sure whether it's absolutely true or not, but I've been told that this guy was the one that gave the money to get me back to school. Trophies of His grace reigning in life now. We stand by His grace. That's who you are. The majestic ones. The excellent ones, David said. Can you see it for a moment today? Just let it happen. Go in there and look at it. He saved me. It's all about Jesus. It's a gift of righteousness. I'm good. I'm being reconciled. I have peace with God. I rejoice in the glory of God because He's going to get all the glory when I get home. And this is real stuff. Like, folks, this is where we live. This is our neighborhood. We have access into this grace by which we stand. Would you bow with me for a moment?